The following presentation is distributed by Lighthouse Catholic Media, a not-for-profit corporation. To order additional copies of this presentation, make a tax-deductible donation, browse our selection of more than 100 inspiring titles in English and Spanish, or receive more information on becoming a Lighthouse Catholic Media account manager, please visit our website at lighthousecatholicmedia.org or call us toll-free at 866-526-2151. Jane Brennan is a former member of NOW and a former Planned Parenthood volunteer. She shares her heart-wrenching story of abortion and subsequent years of depression to her final conversion to the Catholic Church. With a master's degree in counseling, Jane has devoted her private counseling practice, Hope for the Journey, to offer post-abortive women a safe place to reconcile unresolved grief and loss. In 2005, she received the Pro Vitae Award from the Archdiocese of Denver, an award given to those who have shown tremendous support for pro-life issues. Jane has published several pieces regarding abortion's aftermath on various websites and has also appeared on EWTN and on Father Frank Pavone's Gospel of Life show. Jane is the Silent No More Awareness Campaign Regional Coordinator, and she volunteers with the Alternatives Pregnancy Center. She resides in Colorado with her husband Kyle and four daughters. For more information on Jane Brennan and how you can purchase her book, Motherhood Interrupted, or to request Jane to speak at your parish or event, please visit motherhoodinterrupted.com. And now, Jane Brennan.
Thank you, everyone. My name is Jane Brennan, and I'm a parishioner at Our Lady of Loretto Catholic Church in Foxfield. I've come here tonight to tell you my story. This is not an easy story to tell, and I've told it many times, but it never gets any easier. But I want to tell it to you, and I'll explain why at the end. I was born and raised in New Jersey. I had a mom and a dad, and a brother and a sister. You would think that we were the typical American family, but that wasn't true. When I was 5 years old, my grandfather started molesting me. I didn't know what was going on. I was very scared, and I knew that it was bad. I somehow managed to tell my mother, and she put a stop to it, but she never explained to me that it wasn't my fault. I was left with the feeling that I was somehow responsible for this. And in fact, she told me never to talk about it. And my father pretended like it never even happened. And it was this big, dark secret in our family that no one was allowed to talk about. Several years later, another relative started sexually abusing me. All the sick feelings from before came back. I felt like I couldn't go to my parents because the way they reacted last time. So I just kept quiet. I bore it all by myself. And it ended when this person moved away. There were several other instances of abuse, one with a neighbor boy and one with a complete stranger. This all left me thinking that I must be this very bad, dirty, unlovable little girl because this kept happening to me. And I didn't know how to deal with all this pain and despair that I had. Eventually, I did find a way to deal with it. When I was 10 years old, I took my first drink. I liked it. It made me feel good. It took all my pain and despair away, even if it was just for a few hours. So I continued doing it. When I was 12 years old, I found something else, and that was marijuana. And I liked this too. I liked getting high. It took away all that pain. So I continued doing that. When I was in ninth grade, I was high and drunk every weekend. When I was in 10th grade, it was practically every day. I didn't know any other way to deal with my pain and despair. I was never taught about God being a loving father. To me, he was always this distant, punishing judge. It never occurred to me to turn to him. When I was 18, I discovered something else, and that was sex. I thought that having sex with boys meant that they loved me and that they cared about me. And I was so desperately, desperately trying to be loved. And that's the only way I knew how to do it. So I would get high and drunk and have sex with boys. When I went off to college, I lived in a co-ed dorm that had parties all the time. So I fit in real well. While I was at college, I was introduced to all these other drugs, like cocaine and speed and quaaludes, and I tried them all. I was always searching for that perfect high, for something to make me feel in control of my life. But the truth was, my life was spiraling out of control very fast. When I was a junior in college, I became pregnant. My first reaction was one of total fear. I didn't know what to do. I felt like I couldn't tell my parents. They weren't very compassionate and understanding. And I did tell my boyfriend. His attitude was, well, it's your problem, you deal with it. I didn't know who to turn to, so I consulted a few friends, and they said, get an abortion. In fact, abortion was very well publicized all over campus. It was talked about. It was accepted, it was easily obtained. That's all you heard was abortion. I never heard any other option. I never heard of any other help or anything. When I was at a friend's house, in fact, on the student newspaper we were looking through, there was a big ad for an abortion clinic. So I decided to call them. They told me I had to bring cash, $150, cash only. They told me to come in. It was a couple days later. I went to my boyfriend and told him what I was planning to do. He was very happy that I was taking care of my problem. He did give me half the money, and I went to the abortion clinic. When I got there, there was a whole bunch of other women in the waiting room with me, and everybody had to go see the staff counselor. When it was my turn to go see her, she was very nice to me. She made me feel very welcomed. She made me feel very comfortable. She told me that it wasn't even a baby yet, that it was just a clump of cells. I didn't know any better. I didn't know anything about fetal development, so I believed her. In fact, I felt relieved. I thought, well, if it's not a baby yet, then I'm not doing anything wrong. She told me that the whole procedure would be very quick, very easy, painless. You'll be in and out. It'll be like nothing ever happened. You'll just be able to get on with your life. And that sounded good to me, so I agreed. She gave me a Valium, and she sent me off to the procedure room. When I got there, the doctor didn't even acknowledge me. There was an assistant there. The assistant told me I had to take off the bottom half of my clothes, there was no gown or anything, and get on the table. So I did. Next to the table, there was this big machine that had a tube coming out of it. The doctor put that tube inside of me and turned the machine on. Pain hit me. It was excruciating. I thought I was going to pass out. I was shaking, and I was just about ready to scream, stop, when he did stop. The assistant said, okay, you're done. You need to get up, and you need to go into the recovery room. I could barely stand. She had to help me up, help me get dressed, back dressed and everything. I was sweating. I was shaky. I got into the recovery room, which was just a room full of couches. The woman behind the counter said, you had an hour to lay here and then you had to leave because the next group of women were coming in and we needed the space. I had this little thought in my head that this sounded like an abortion assembly line. I laid down on one of the couches. There were a whole bunch of other women in there. Some were crying, some were moaning. I felt like I was gonna pass out and I was gonna throw up, and I couldn't move after the hour. I still had to lay there. I was there for about 2 hours in such excruciating pain. The woman behind the counter said, look, you need to get up. You've been here for over the hour. We need the room. There's a bigger group of women coming in. You need to go. So somehow I managed to get up and out of there. I had to take a trolley back to my dorm room. And I was so afraid I was going to throw up in front of the other passengers. But I did manage to make it back. I got back to my dorm room and I just threw myself on the bed and I just started to cry. I had a little thought in my head that maybe I had done something wrong. I was raised Catholic. My parents were not very religious. We went to church at Christmas and Easter, and then it was just a social thing to show off our new clothes. So I didn't know anything about my faith. I didn't know anything about any faith. But I had a vague idea that maybe the Catholic Church would think that what I had done was wrong. But I pushed that thought away very quickly, and I chose to believe the woman at the abortion clinic. A week later, I had to go back for a checkup. They told me that if I was going to be sexually active, I needed to use birth control pills. And they explained to me all how the birth control pill worked and how it was going to help me and protect me. So I said, okay. They gave me my pack of pills and they sent me on my way. I went home. It was Christmas break. When I got home, I just felt so empty. Every day I would wake up in the morning and tears would come to my eyes, and I felt like a ton of bricks was on me, and I felt depressed, and I didn't know what this was about. What was wrong with me? That woman at the clinic said this was going to be easy, that I could just get on with my life. What was wrong with me? Why wasn't that happening to me? When I got back to school, I tried very, very hard to get on with my life. And whenever these feelings would come up, I would just drown them out with more alcohol, more drugs, and more promiscuity. Now, this was 1980, and it was Boston. This is where I went to school. The feminist movement was in full swing, and I began to become very involved with them. I actually liked their message that women had control over their body and women could do what they wanted with their body. I never felt like I had control over anything, least of all my body, because of what had happened to me as a young girl, but that message really spoke to me. I embraced it. All that anger that I had towards my abusers and my parents, it all came out in this movement. And I became a very angry, militant feminist. And I would argue with anyone who disagreed with me. The feminists, one thing they didn't like was Christianity, Catholicism in particular. They thought that Catholicism was the worst because of the all-male priesthood and how pro-life they were. Why couldn't women do what they wanted with their body? I learned to hate the Catholic Church right along with them. I was this very angry, militant, anti-Catholic feminist. My mother's Italian. All her family is Catholic. I can remember going to relatives' homes and getting into arguments with all these Italian Catholics while I was spouting my feminist agenda. These are Italians from New Jersey. They're not polite. And we got into some pretty bad arguments. After graduation, I moved to New York City. I wanted to be in the big city, live the big city life. I couldn't find a job teaching in a public school or a private school, so I very reluctantly took a job teaching in a Catholic school. And you would think being in this very Catholic atmosphere would do something to change me, but no. I, in fact, became even more militant, and I joined the National Organization for Women, and I volunteered for them. I thought all this Catholic doctrine and stuff, I thought it was all just a bunch of fairy tales. And it didn't apply to me, the modern woman. When it came time to teach my fourth grade class religion, I did it very sarcastically. You kids don't need to know all this fairy tale stuff. I was going to Columbia University, getting a master's degree, which was a very secular, liberal university. When they found out that I worked in a Catholic school, they were horrified. Oh my gosh, you have to work there in that environment with those nuns and those archaic teaching methods? And I agreed. I said, yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. One thing the feminists taught too was that women were just like men and could do anything men could do, and women didn't need relationships or commitment, and that marriage was just a construct of the patriarchal society that was designed to oppress and enslave women. And we needed to break free from this. And the way we did that was casual sex. You could have sex with anyone you wanted, just as long as you took your birth control pills. That was gonna protect you. And this was gonna allow you to be this free woman. That's the way I lived. That was the life that I lived. I wanted to be this free woman. But the thing about it was, I didn't feel very free, and I didn't feel very empowered when I woke up in some man's bed. I just felt dirty and disgusting and ashamed. Whenever those feelings came up, I knew how to deal with them too, with my old friends, drugs and alcohol. That's the life I lived. And I tried so hard to embrace this. When these feelings came up, I thought there was something wrong with me. Why can't I live this life? Why can't I be this free woman? What's wrong with me? And after a while, this life became too much, even for me, who tried so hard to live it. I thought I needed a change of scenery. My brother was living out in Denver. He invited me to come out here. That sounded good to me. It sounded very appealing. Denver had this reputation of being lower paced, kind of a cow town, and I liked that. I decided to move out here. When I got here, I met a man right away who was divorced and had custody of his two young daughters. We started to date, and our relationship became sexual right away. He was a heavy drinker, but that didn't bother me because so was I. After a while, I moved in with him. I thought I was living this very respectable life, helping this man take care of his two young daughters. He was very controlling and abusive. I didn't understand any of that. I just mistook all his bullying for love because I was desperately seeking to be loved. It was during all this chaos, after I moved in with him, all this chaos of the abuse and the drinking, that I became pregnant. I was scared to tell him that I was pregnant. I was using birth control. He made it very clear he didn't want any more children. So when I did get up the courage to tell him, he shocked me by saying, well, let's get married. I knew deep down inside that marriage to him was not a good idea, but I didn't know how to tell him no. I was afraid. I really didn't want to be tied to him because I knew that it really wasn't good for me, this relationship. But somehow I thought, well, if we get married, maybe it'll get better. Then I came up with the idea, well, I'll have an abortion. We could get married, but I'll have an abortion. And he thought that was a great idea. I really didn't want to have another abortion, but like I said, I was afraid to tell him I didn't want to marry him. I didn't want to be tied to him. And I thought it was my right to do this. This is my body. I can do this. I made an appointment at another abortion clinic. Before we got there, I began to have second thoughts because I remembered how awful my first abortion was, and I didn't want to go through that again. So I started to tell him, you know, maybe this isn't such a good idea. He was adamant. Oh, no, you have to do this. You have to do this. We can't have another baby. We can't afford a child. This is ridiculous. You have to do this. He badgered me and badgered me until I finally said, okay, we'll do it. So we got to the abortion clinic. Again, walked into the procedure room. Doctor didn't acknowledge me. He had a nurse there with him. I started to get on the table and I stopped and I said, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to do this. He got very annoyed with me and said, look, you're here. I'm ready. Let's just get it done, okay? And so I said, all right. So I got on the table. He's preparing the instruments. I'm looking at him and I sit up and I say, no, I changed my mind. I don't want to do this. The nurse comes over. She gently pushes me down on the back on the table. And she said, honey, look, you're here. We're all ready. Let's just get it done. And so I said, okay, just started to cry. The pain was excruciating. He didn't even bat an eye. When it was done, just had to get up again, and there was no recovery room this time, just had to leave. Got home, I got no compassion or sympathy from my boyfriend. He just expected me to go on like nothing ever happened. Again, I was hit with these feelings of emptiness, and I would cry at all these unexpected times and felt kind of depressed, and I didn't understand these feelings. This was my choice to do this. This is my body. This is my right. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? I knew how to deal with those feelings, just like before. Eventually, we did get married. You know, somehow I did think that having this abortion and getting married, our relationship would get better, but it didn't. It got worse. One night, we were out at my sister's house, and my husband was drinking very much, and he became very belligerent. When we got home, he was pushing me around and shoving me into the wall, and I was yelling and wanted to leave and trying to get away from him. And I couldn't. My sister called in the middle of this, and she heard what was going on. She quickly hung up the phone and called the police. Just as the police were coming up the walk, they saw my husband shove me onto the ground. They burst through the door, they restrained him, and they asked me if I wanted to leave, and I said yes. Got my things, and I left, and we were divorced about 4 months later. I was still very depressed, thought it was all my fault. I must be this horrible person. I can't live this life. Why can't things go right for me? And all this just sank into a lot of despair. I moved in with this other divorced woman and picked up my lifestyle of going to bars and picking up men. And I really didn't want to live this way. I didn't like it. But I didn't know how to change. I was searching, but I didn't know for what. One night, I was out at a bar on a date with the man, and he was ignoring me, and in walked my brother with his friend. He introduced me to his friend, who was very nice, found out that he was in the middle of a divorce, too. We started talking, just a very nice, kind man. So we started to date, got to know him a lot, and turns out he's a Catholic. Oh, gosh. I was still very much anti-Catholic feminist. I don't know why he stayed with me, because all I was doing is screaming and yelling at him about how bad the Catholic Church was and how the men were the enemy. Eventually, we decided to get married. Pretty soon after we got married, I became pregnant, and we had a baby girl. After that, I became pregnant again very quickly, and we had twins. So I had three babies under three, and I was very overwhelmed. I suffered a lot from postpartum depression. It was during this time my husband saw how unstable I was. He decided to get a vasectomy, and I agreed. Thought, yeah, that's great. So he did. I was sinking into this depression really badly, and I knew I needed some help. I could barely take care of myself, much less my babies. I found a counselor, went to her, and found out that she's a feminist. Great, this is great. This is gonna help me, this is good. But the thing about it, what she was telling me was very contrary to us keeping our marriage intact. She was telling me that I needed to find myself, that I needed to fulfill myself, fulfill my dreams and my desires and what made me happy. According to her, that did not include taking care of my children and my husband. She encouraged me to join all these feminist groups, and I did. I became a member of NOW out here in Colorado and NARAL. I started to volunteer at Planned Parenthood. I would go into public high schools and talk to young girls about NORPLAN, which is a birth control device, and would sign them up to get it implanted in their arm. I would take them into the clinic, and before they could get it implanted, they would have to take a pregnancy test. I can remember one time a pregnancy test of this one young girl. She was 16. It came up positive, so I took her, arranged for her to have the abortion. I even helped my sister get an abortion, and this is the life that I led. And always going on marches and protests for pro-choice. I was this very radical feminist, ranting and raving about how bad the Catholic Church was and everything like that. My husband would just beg me, please, please stop all this. Please stop going to that counselor. Stop going to all these activities. Stop doing all this. And I wouldn't listen to him. I would just yell and scream at him, you're a man, you're oppressing me. You're keeping me down. Why can't I do what I wanted, what fulfills me? Eventually, he couldn't take it anymore, and eventually he left me. This really shook me up because I loved my husband. I wanted to be a wife and a mother. So I did. I did stop going to the counselor, and I did stop all the activity. It took many, many months of apologizing and reconciling, but he finally came back. And when he came back, that's when I started to question what it was that I was doing and what I believed. I had remembered back when the first Gulf War started. Do you remember the first Gulf War? Well, the feminists said that women are just like men. They could even fight in war, just like men. No difference. So on the TV, you saw all these women going off to this war. They were leaving their young children and their husbands and their families. And I thought that was really sad. I got this letter from one of these groups. In it, it said, we don't support this war. And I remembered that. And I thought, wow, that's kind of hypocritical. Here you're telling these women that they could go off and fight in this war. And when they actually listen to you and do what you say, then you turn around and say, well, we don't support this war. I thought, I really need to investigate more about what it is that they believe and that I bought into. I really need to investigate this. I found this book at a bookstore one day, just searching in the bookshelves, and I found this book, and it was called Who Stole Feminism by Christina Hoff Sommers. In this book, she talked about how the feminist movement has been hijacked by this very radical group of women. They have a very dangerous agenda of pitting women against men. I didn't know any of this. And how these women, they pit women against their own children. The original feminists, like Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, were pro-life. They said that abortion stripped women of their dignity. It relieved men of their responsibility to women. Women needed support and respect so they could keep their babies. I didn't know any of this. This really blew my mind. I thought, wow, I really need to check things out further. I started to listen to Rush Limbaugh on the radio. Now, you may know this, but Rush Limbaugh is the devil incarnate to feminist groups. So this was a big step for me. I started to listen to him. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, because I always hated him. I thought he was awful, that he hated women. He actually made some sense to me. He talked about the unborn baby's right to live. I never considered that. It was always my right, my body. And I thought, wow, gosh, these feminists have been wrong about a lot of stuff. What else could they be wrong about? And I thought, well, you know what I need to do? I need to check out religion. I need to go to church. So I did. I started to go to a different church, a different Christian church every weekend. I would go in church, and everyone was very nice to me and made me feel very welcome, and the message was very inspiring and uplifting, and but I don't know, something inside of me felt like something was missing, but I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. I kept searching. My husband, the Catholic, said, look, if you're going to go back to church, the only church I'm going to go to is the Catholic Church. And I got all ready to argue with him, but something held me back. I thought, okay, all right, I'll do that. All right, we'll go. But I'm thinking to myself, we'll go to the Catholic Church, and then when I find the real church, we'll go there. That Sunday, I took my oldest daughter with me. I didn't even know where there was a Catholic church. I had to look in the phone book. And we were late getting there, so I was in a hurry. We rush up to the door, and I stop. And I said, "What am I doing here? I can't go in there. That's a Catholic church. The Pope is an evil, misogynistic oppressor of women. They have an all-male priesthood. I can't go in there. I can't do that." It was like I had a magnet inside of me, and something was pulling me inside. That's how strong it was. I go in, and I step through the doors, and the Mass had already begun. This feeling came over me like, I'm finally home. And it shocked me. It brought tears to my eyes. I'm standing there, and an usher came up to me. He said, "Would you like a seat?" I said, "Yes." He took us all the way up front. And I'm standing there in the pew, listening to the priest say the Mass. All of a sudden, this beam of power from above comes down, and it hits me on my head, knocks me on my knees. In that moment, I knew there was a God, that Jesus Christ was his son, this was his church, and he wanted me here. I just started to sob. My daughter said, "Mommy, what's wrong?" And I just looked up at her and I said, "I'm so happy." And I was. After all those years of searching and searching for happiness and love through the sex, the drugs, alcohol, and the feminism, I finally find it in the last place that I ever expected to find anything, in the Catholic Church. I was just filled with this incredible joy. I went home to my husband and I told him, "We are going to the Catholic Church." And he said, "Okay." And we did. We started to go to Mass every Sunday as a family. I was so on fire, I even started to go to daily Mass. One day after Mass, the priest came up to me and he asked me if I would like to help out in this ministry they had here. I said, "Oh, sure, yeah, I'll help." He told me I had to go speak to this woman, Rachel. I went to her office. She was an older lady and she had all this energy. She's running around the office saying, we needed to help rebuild the churches in all the countries that had been devastated by communism over in Russia. But we didn't have to worry about any of this because Our Lady was going to help us. We needed to raise money, but we didn't have to worry about that either because Our Lady was going to help us with that. Our Lady was going to help us with the orphans and raise money for them. Just nodding my head, standing there smiling, and I'm thinking to myself, what lady is she talking about? She had given me some pamphlets, and I started to read them, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. She's talking about Mary. Now, I vaguely knew who Mary was. I knew that she was Jesus's mother. I saw her image at Christmas time, but that's all I knew. I didn't know that you could have a relationship with her. I never heard her referred to as Our Lady. I didn't know that you could pray to her and ask for her intercession and that she would help you. I didn't know any of this. I think I'd seen a rosary before. I didn't know what it was, though. I didn't know that it was a prayer and that you could pray it. I went out and I brought myself a rosary and a booklet and I taught myself how to pray the rosary. I pray that rosary every day and it brings me much comfort and much peace. As I'm learning all about my faith, we got our children baptized. My oldest daughter made her first Holy Communion. My husband and I got our previous marriages annulled. We got married in the church. He got his vasectomy reversed. Years later, we had another baby girl, and we named her Grace Mary. I'm learning all about my faith. I knew that I had to go to confession. Confession kept coming up. I knew I had to do it. All those things that I thought were my right, they were actually sins, and I needed to confess them. But I was scared. I just was very afraid, and they kept me away for a really long time. I thought, I can't go tell a priest everything that I did. I was so afraid that he would kick me out of the confessional. I really thought he would. I thought he'd say, we're Catholic, we're used to sinners, but you, you're too much. I really thought that. I wouldn't go for the longest time, but it was so strong inside of me. It was so strong. Finally, I couldn't ignore it any longer. They were having this penance service. I went, and there's all these priests there, and I'm thinking, oh, which one should I go to? Which is the best one? I'm standing in line. Yeah, Father Tim. I'm standing in line. I want to be at the end because I want to be last because I knew I was going to be in there for a really long time. Finally, when it was my turn, I went in and I started to tell the priest everything. He was so nice, so kind, and so compassionate. He gave me the words of absolution. It was like a weight was just lifted off of me. Now let me tell you, that is true freedom. The world tells you that's freedom, that we're free to do all those things, and that's a lie. That is a lie. This is freedom, freedom in the truth. I walked out of that confessional that day, and I reclaimed my dignity as a woman and a daughter of God. I love that sacrament. It is very beautiful. I go to confession all the time. All this is happening, and I'm coming back to the church and everything, and I'm feeling very strongly that I need to do pro-life work. I started to join pro-life groups, and it became very, very clear to me when we were trying to have another baby. At first, I wasn't getting pregnant. Then when I did get pregnant, I had two miscarriages, and I thought, oh gosh, I'm being punished. When I got pregnant again, I was 13 weeks along, and I started to bleed, and I thought, oh, it's happening again, it's happening. The doctor had me come in, and he did an ultrasound. There on the ultrasound was my little girl, her heart, and her arms and her legs. And I said, oh my gosh, that is life. That's not a clump of cells. How can anybody deny that that is life? And then it hit me, the horror of what I had done to my two babies. And I was in despair. I went through healing programs. The Catholic Church has Project Rachel, and I went through that, and then I went through a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. These are very healing programs that the Catholic Church has for post-abortive women and men. I realized that woman, all those years ago, she lied to me. I was very angry, and I said, I need to speak up about this. I need to tell people what's going on, how women are being used and manipulated and lied to. But I was very afraid. I didn't want to tell anybody what had happened to me. I joined these pro-life groups, and I did see sort of this judgmentalism towards women who had abortions. They didn't understand, how could a woman have her own baby killed? How could she do that? I went on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and it was there that I was given the grace to talk about this. People needed to understand what was happening to women. Like I said, how they were being lied to and used and manipulated. God wanted me to be the one to tell them. He could use my story and my pain to help other people. That's what I do. This is my ministry. I go around and I tell my story. Like I said, it's not easy to do, but I do it so people will understand what women go through. It's very important that we educate people on the human life, that that is a human life, that that is a baby. It's also important that we educate people on what happens to women because of this choice, this so-called choice. What is this choice about that we're talking about? People need to know. They need to hear this. I went back to school and I got a master's degree in counseling, and I have a counseling practice that is dedicated to help women and men who suffer from past abortions. Men suffer from this. The feminists have made a very good job of defining this as a woman's issue. It's not just a woman's issue. Men need to start standing up and saying, hey, I do have a voice in this. I do have a say in this. And they need to do that. They need to be brave, courageous, and get up and say, yes, I do. You can't tell me that I don't have a say in this. I do have a say in it. Abortion affects everybody. It affects the woman, it affects the man, it affects the grandparents, the siblings. And I told my teenage daughter about my abortions. She said to me, Mommy, you mean I have a brother and sister in heaven? Yes, you do. And she was kind of sad. She said, you know, I always wanted an older brother. I feel like I missed out on that. I wonder what it would be like. So you see, it does. It affects everybody. This is not just the woman's issue. My ministry, I would like to invite all of you to join me on this ministry. I got the idea for the book when I started to meet other women who had similar stories to mine. I joined Silent No More. Silent No More Awareness Campaign is a group dedicated to women who've had abortions and were speaking out. We're going to be silent no more. You should check out their website. It's called the Silent No More Awareness Campaign.org. You can join anonymously or you can join using your name. Women are starting to speak out, and that's what I saw, and that's why I wrote that book. This book can help you understand what women go through, the pain and the agony because of their choice. This book is also could be helpful to a woman who's had an abortion. If you know any woman who's had an abortion, she could read this book in the privacy and the comfort of her own home. And this could possibly start her on the healing process. Maybe it'll help her to go to a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. If you know a woman who's contemplating having an abortion, let her read this. Let her read the stories. Let her understand what the choice is. Even though all the stories do have a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, they all end in hope and healing. That's what's so wonderful about our God. He's a God of mercy and forgiveness. Like I said, I'd like to invite you all to join me in this ministry. We all need to start talking about this issue. You can talk to your pro-abortion friends and family members and co-workers. You can ask them, don't you think women deserve better than abortion? You can explain to them what women go through, all the pain and the guilt. You can explain to them how women suffer so much from depression and turn to alcohol and drugs and even have suicidal thoughts and even commit suicide, all because of their choice. You can explain to people about this, about all this, and get them thinking. You can say, if you're pro-woman, don't you really need to think about how this affects women? Isn't that better than saying to her, it's okay to have her unborn baby sucked from her womb and thrown in the trash? What's the better alternative here? You know a woman who's maybe at your work, who's in a crisis pregnancy, is contemplating abortion. Wouldn't it be better to go up to her and say, how can I help you? There's so many resources out there. Plug her into Catholic Charities has resources. Alternative pregnancy centers have resources. You can really help these women. You know, if she's contemplating abortion, talk to her about that. We can help you. There's real help out there. I think this is all our obligation. You could talk about theology and philosophy and politics, theoretical stuff. But when you actually have a person standing here who's been through it, it means a lot more. That's why Silent No More, groups like that are so important, because women go out and they give their testimonies. They actually tell their stories. That's the power of the story. I'd like to leave you with one last thing. Please, please, please don't stop praying. My conversion was the direct result of somebody's prayers. Somebody was praying for me. Your prayers are very important. They're very powerful, and they work. We could all start praying for pro-abortion militant feminists. We can pray for their conversion. You can pray your rosary and offer it up for them. You could pray a Divine Mercy chaplet for them. You could fast and pray. But please, you need to do it. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this presentation from Jane Brennan. For more information on how to purchase her book, Motherhood Interrupted, and her many other materials on post-abortion healing, please visit motherhoodinterrupted.com. If this presentation has helped you in your faith journey, and you would like to hear more of these inspiring talks, we invite you to visit our website and enroll yourself or a friend in our CD of the Month Club. As a listener, your input is very important in helping us improve this program to reach many more souls for Christ and His Church. We would like to send you a free gift for your time when you complete a very brief survey on the presentation you just heard. You will find the survey at our website, lighthousecatholicmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you and your family.